You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now we're moving on to our Grow Model with our Steps to Christ lecturer for today, who's teaching us about the sinner's need for Christ, why God isn't good enough. Just being good. You can't say I'm good, therefore it's no good. Your goodness is not enough. In a world that encourages self-improvement, self-care, self-love, and all those things that you can do for yourself and personal achievements, the idea that we are powerless to save ourselves is a hard pill to swallow. Quite frankly, a lot of people on TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube, they are steering away from the idea that you cannot do it by yourself. They are telling you can. You can do it by yourself. And that's what we want to talk about today. We need to learn more about that and see from the book Steps to Christ, is there anything we could learn and glean from just that? That sinners need for Christ is an important lesson for us to learn. And that's why we have our lecturer, our teacher, and our chaperone through this journey. That is Dr. Bodney Mulosiwa. Good afternoon to you, Doctor, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me again.
Thank you very much, Doctor. So we're talking about the sinner's need for Christ. First and foremost, what does Steps to Christ say about the humanity's true condition without Christ?
The fact of the matter is that the life without Christ does not make sense. And I'm saying this with a bit of background on what science could do and what it could achieve. Mm-hmm. It answers a lot of important questions, but does not even scratch the surface when it comes to some of the questions I'm going to state. The first question is, what is my purpose? Number two, what is ultimate justice? And number three, the sheer noticing that we are in a dire condition. That is, if we are left to be where we are bound to be lost forever. So what this statement says, humanity's true condition without Christ is that we'll be living a life without purpose, and we'll also be living a life that does not guarantee us ultimate justice. Just to give just a short scenario, when someone has been killed, and then whoever killed that person is sentenced to life imprisonment or death, that does not make in any way justice, in the sense that that does not bring back the loved one. So it's only God who can actually give us ultimate justice that we need. And also, without God, we are on the highway headed to death at a very high speed. So I think these are the three things that without Christ, they cannot be defined. No purpose, no justice, and no help in this dire condition that we are living in.
So why is self-sufficiency a major obstacle to salvation? Because it appears if the position is as you are articulating it right now, it implies that this idea that we're self-sufficient is problematic. Quite frankly, it's probably an obstacle to progress. And hence my question, why? Why is self-sufficiency a major obstacle to salvation?
All right. So usually the word salvation is closely related to the word salvage, which means you're actually trying to glean some good from the little that is left. And whatever you are saving is not in a position to save itself. Now, the issue or the idea of self-sufficiency gives an impression that you can actually do it on your own without extra help. So where we stand, as far as our sinful nature is, it's like we have been thrown into a deep tunnel and the walls have been smeared with some oil. There's no ladder inside, nothing. So you cannot save yourself from that deep tunnel unless if someone actually pulls you out, and that one should not be in the tunnel with you.
Right.
So self-sufficiency is dangerous in that it hides you or it blinds you from seeing that you cannot save yourself. That you're going to spend a lot of energy thinking you can, whereas you can't.
Okay. Okay, perhaps let's talk about the idea that we are sinful. How does acknowledging our sinfulness lead to spiritual growth? I'm going to tell you why this is a very important question. The general thinking community there, the philosophical world out there says the moment you tell a child you are stupid, the child is going to be stupid. The moment you tell a child you are useless, the child will end up being useless. So the more you tell a person or a child negativity, the more they gravitate towards that negativity. But now, the way I'm listening to what you're saying, it suggests that we need to keep on telling people that they are sinful, and they need to keep on keeping in the forefront that they are sinful. That's my question. How does acknowledging our sinfulness lead to spiritual growth? Because the world says it'll lead to our ultimate demise, which is what they are alleging. Things are going haywire right now because we've been telling people that they are useless, they are sinful, and so forth. So again, how does acknowledging our sinfulness lead to spiritual growth?
So in the corporate circles and even in the psychological circles, there's something called an insight. Insight means how much awareness do you have of your situation. So this is the most important step towards seeking for help. Now, it requires us to introspect, to look at what you have and the reality that you are facing. Now, sinfulness by definition means the propensity to sin, which comes as a warning to us. That is, if you know that chances that if you have to make a decision, it will be easier for you to make the wrong one, means that you need someone to assist you in making the right decision. It's important for us to know that we are sinful, but for us to stop there, that is where the problem is. So once we understand that we are in a sinful state, we commit sins, and the propensity for us to commit sin is great in us, means that we have to now say, because this problem is going to be troubling us for a long time, we need a rock that is higher than us to help us stand firm. And since that is not from within, it can only come from God, it helps us to raise our eyes to look at God, who alone can save us. But if we are not aware of that, there's no way in the world we are going to look for salvation. There's no way in the world we are going to seek for spiritual growth.
Okay, and why do some people resist the idea that they need savior?
So that are quite some couple of factors. Like I said, the first one is I would say lack of insight. And nowadays we even decorate these words. Some call them atheists, some agnostics. So there's different ways that we use for people to kind of resist the idea of need of a savior. So sometimes it's just sheer fact of saying, I don't think we're in any problem. Whatever happens will happen, so it has nothing to do with me. So that is more towards the agnostic and the atheistic view of life, to say things will happen the way they will happen either way. And then sometimes it's sheer lack of knowledge. If you don't know that there is actually an impending danger, then you won't necessarily look for salvation in any way or a savior. And then because there's no knowledge, then you won't be able to realize your need. And then the other thing is that resistance, all the idea comes with understanding that the savior is there, but what comes with acknowledging that he's there. So a greater number of people resist this idea of the savior, because the moment you say they is need for a savior, then the question would be, then how should I live with the knowledge that there is a savior? So most would dismiss the idea so that they can sleep comfortably, knowing that they are not accountable to anyone, they can live their lives the way they want. So that is one key factor why most people would resist the idea. What does it mean once I acknowledge that the Savior is there and I need him?
Okay. Finally, what practical steps can we take to recognize our need for Christ daily?
All right. So the question that says the practical steps. Number one, there's an understanding from that one really needs to acknowledge that, because that is where salvation essentially begins. Now, the first one is that you need to realize that indeed you need God. And that comes with the understanding that there are certain things that are beyond your pay grade. You cannot do certain things for yourselves, especially when it comes to the matter of salvation. You cannot save yourself from a losing battle that you are aware that you are losing. And then the other thing is that we need to acknowledge and know that God cares. And that the question of my personal sin is actually smaller than the bigger question of sin that God is trying to address. So you are a person in the bigger, you are a smaller person in the bigger question
scheme of
that
things.
God is trying to address. Yes.
Right.
And one, as long as we are here, before the sin problem is solved, we are going to have situations where we go through some tough situations for the purposes of our salvation. And that does not in any way say that God does not care. And then the other thing, which is most important, is we need to educate ourselves. When we are in our workplaces, and I like relating this to work, school, which is where most of us really spend most of our time. When there is a question that we do not understand, we go out, we research, we read, we discuss, we ask questions, we find answers. Same applies to our education as far as Christ is concerned. Let us sit down and educate ourselves on things that matter, things that we love, and things that are important. If salvation is an important thing, and it revolves around understanding that God cares, then we really have to put more effort into educating ourselves around what God wants. And what a better way to start than starting with the Word of God itself.
Okay. All right. We're going to leave it there for today. Thank you very much, Dr. Bahatni Munasiwa. We really appreciate your time and your insights. Let's do this again once again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further, and see you again tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Let's meet again and do this.
Thank you very much. Dr. Bahatni Munasiwa is our teacher, our lecturer, our chaperone in these very confusing paths we're trying to trot on.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.